We'll move on. We'll do one more verse where he's talking about the need for rituals and what happens to a wise person, whether he does rituals or whether even books have any meaning. So here he's sort of again talking about the mechanically doing rituals. Verse number 46. यावानर्थ उदपाने सर्वतः संप्लुतोदके तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः So he says, Yavan, just as Artha. Artha here means, what is the use? Use of what? Udapane. What is the use of a well? Well, what is the use of a well? When Sarvata, everywhere, Samplutodake, everywhere there is flooding, then what use is the well? Similarly, Yavan and then Tavan, in the same way, Sarveshu Vedeshu, in all the Vedas, what is the use of all the Vedas for a Brahmana? Brahmana here does not mean the caste Brahmana. The word Brahmana, when it's used in the Gita, it means Brahmani Charati Iti Brahmana. One whose mind is always in Brahman, always in Lord, only he can call himself Brahman. Just because you were born in a Brahman family and you wear the thread does not make you a Brahman. That's just your caste. But a true Brahman is one whose mind is always in the Lord. And he could be any caste. He could be a Shudra. He could be Kshatriya, Vaishya. These are all artificial creations made by man. In reality, there are only two kinds of people. One who is with the Lord and one who is without. It doesn't matter what your status is. Doesn't matter what your name is. Doesn't matter what your job is. You could be a carpenter. You could be sweeping the floor. Be a janitor. It doesn't matter. But if you say, I'm cleaning this bathroom for the Lord, and you are cleaning 100 bathrooms a day, you are still a saint. You are still a Brahman. If your mind is in the Lord, it's not the work you do, but with what attitude you do. So he says, a Brahmana, one who knows Brahman, Vijanataha, for him the Vedas have as much use as a well in a flood. So the well in the flood is a beautiful example. Now, suppose in a village in the olden days, even now, in a lot of the villages in India, there is a well and people walk sometimes a mile, 2 miles, the ladies, and will carry a pot on their head and go and put the pot in the water, fill it up and put it on their head and bring it back. And in the heat, it's hard work, carrying two full pots of water. And sometimes there is a drought and then the well gets even smaller and then it is more difficult to get water. But suppose there is a tremendous heavy rain and there is flooding. The whole village is flooded and there's water everywhere. Then where is the well? The well is in the water. The well is no longer has its, the Gurudev says, comprehended. It becomes part of the water. And then such a person doesn't need to go walking to the well. She can just go outside, take the water, boil it, purify it, and use it. So for her, the well is no longer useful when the whole village is flooded. Or like when it's raining, then you don't need to turn your sprinklers on. You use the sprinklers when it's not. But when it's raining so much, then sprinklers are of no use. So similarly, for an enlightened master, Brahmana, Brahmana Vijanataha, one who knows the truth, the Vedas are of no use. The Vedas are useful to purify the mind. As we said, the Vedas, again, we mean the ritual, the Brahmana portion. That is necessary for you and me to do so that our mind becomes purified, mind becomes quiet, and then with that quiet mind, we can study. But one who has studied and who has enlightened, who has become one with Lord, then he becomes part of the total knowledge. And then for him, the Vedas are just a part, just as when there's flooding all over, the well becomes part of that. Well becomes comprehended or included in that. So for a wise person who knows the totality, That's why they say Brahman is Sat, Chit, and Anand. Sat means existence, Chit means all knowing, and Anand means bliss. So once I have become all knowing, become one with God, then what use are the rituals for me? Not only that, but ultimately these people do not even need to study the Upanishads. Upanishads are good, are necessary for you and me, because we are still at the level where we are seekers of truth, where we are trying to reach the truth. In fact, there's a beautiful story of Raman Maharishi. He's an enlightened master who lived in the 20th century. And one day he was reading an Upanishad. So somebody said, Maharaj, you know, sir, why are you reading the Upanishads? You are an enlightened master. Already he was enlightened. So he says, I'm reading, I want to see what they have written about me. What is written about me? Because he has become one with that. It's not an arrogance. It's not ego. He has understood that I am that, that total, everything is me. So there is nothing. So even the Vedas, even the Bible or the Quran or the Guru Granth Sahib, they are all necessary for us. But an enlightened master may choose to read them or may not choose to read them. Then it is his or her choice. It's not that he is putting down the scriptures. Scriptures are very essential. But once you have enlightened, then yes, you might read it just, you know, to maintain your, or like for a master, suppose he has to teach. He has to teach a class. Then he has to read. He has to prepare. And then he has to get references. Okay, in Kathopanishad, it says this. In Prashnopanishad. So he or she may choose to read for a particular purpose. But inside, there is no incompleteness. Same thing they talk about joy or about bliss. So joy is I get joy in some object. We have talked many times, I get joy in eating or drinking or acquiring or getting a piece of jewelry or getting a new this or new house or whatever. But when I have found the joy within, the bliss within, when I have become one with Lord, then I'm no longer a beggar of joy. Then I'm not begging people to give me joy or talk to me nicely so I'll be happy, or say hi to me, I'll be happy. Or no, I am fine whether somebody says hi or somebody does not say hi, because I have discovered the inner bliss, which is complete. And then I do not need anybody to make me complete. I do not need any situation to make me complete. Whether I have objects, fine. If tomorrow I lose them, I am still fine. Not that you stop working, but you don't depend on things for happiness. Example they give is electricity. It doesn't happen here, but in India, it's gotten better. But in the past, the power used to go out periodically. Suddenly, the power will be gone for 2-3 hours. There's no electricity. But if you have a generator, most people, at least in Delhi, I know they used to have their own generator. And so the moment the power goes, the generator kicks in. So if the city is sending electricity, my house is lit. But if the city stops, I can still use my own generator and generate electricity. So similarly, this person who has become one with the Lord, if the world is giving me happiness, fine. The world chooses to withdraw its happiness, I am still fine because I have found joy within. And what Bhagwan is criticizing is rituals done with desire. As we have studied last week also, rituals done with a selfish motive for power or pleasure is what is criticized when he talks about Vedas. The Upanishads are not addressed in this particular verse because the Upanishads are the highest knowledge. He's talking about the Karma Kanda or the rituals. So for a wise person, rituals are not necessary. Another place I was reading the commentary, and very beautifully he says like when we go to a lecture, say some Swamiji has come and we go to a lecture. So our pot is empty. You know, we are disturbed and we are very upset and we have a lot of problems. And we go there and we sit in the presence of the Mahatma and it fills up our pot. Okay, so for one today now I am happy because I heard this lecture or I met this saint. And then by the time I come home and then going through my life by evening, you know, the pot is empty again. So then I have to wait till tomorrow or wait till next week. So we keep filling our little pots with little joy from all these spiritual studies, which is good. But one should do it every day so that I keep filling my pot every day. So this study should not be done once a week on Sunday or once a week when or once a month when Swamiji comes. But daily I should be in touch with this. So I should keep my pot filled, not depend on somebody else. Yes, if there's a lecture or a talk, I go there. But if there is not, I still study and I keep that. And I reach the level of Om or that Brahman, which is beyond space and time. Anything that you get in this world is limited by space and time. Any happiness you get will not last forever. Anything you possess will not be. So time and space always limit. Like you build a house and after a while it becomes limited. Oh my, I have now three children and each one wants their old bedroom. And now this three bedroom house is too small. So either space or time will limit, but so you have to go to that world of Brahman, become one with it, which is beyond space and time. And that's what happens to these Mahatmas. They go beyond space and time. Look at Jesus. Will we ever forget him? No. Even 10,000 years from now, Buddha or Shankaracharya or Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, all these great Mahatmas, these great Mirabai and, you know, Narsi Mehta and Sant Gyaneshwar, even thousands of years from now, Swami Vivekananda, whenever people hear their name, they will bow in reverence. Oh, this was a realized master. So they go beyond space and time. Actually, there's a very small little excerpt if somebody wants. This Upanishad Ganga, which Chinmaya Mission. So I have this small excerpt about Abhimanyu when Abhimanyu dies. And how Krishna consoles, it's very beautiful. If somebody is interested, I'll be happy to forward it to you. It's so beautiful, so powerful. So that's why when you think of Abhimanyu, immediately your mind gets filled with respect. Even he died, he was a teenager when he died. But how much bravery, how much courage he exhibited, that is called worth living, a life worth living. Live with courage, live with conviction. Otherwise, people come and kings come and go. People are born and dies. Who cares? But I should make my life special. So similarly, they give an example of math. Somebody has done advanced calculus and has done PhD in mathematics. Does he need to go back and study arithmetic? You know, 2 plus 2 is 4, addition, multiplication. No, he's gone beyond it. So same way, a great Mahatma who has gone beyond all these, for him, rituals, he may still do them. You know, he may do them for the benefit of the community. He may participate in it because rituals are good. And secondly, also the point is that our mind is never guaranteed. You may even be realized, but it is good to keep in touch with all these things. So then the question comes, should I give up having fun? You know, people say, why should I give up having fun? You mean I shouldn't go hiking? You mean I shouldn't go for a movie? You mean I shouldn't watch TV? You mean I shouldn't go to restaurants? We say the need will not be there. See, once you have discovered the joy within, then if you go to a movie, it's fine. I don't go to a movie, I'm still fine. You go to a restaurant, it's good. I don't go, I'm still good. Somebody invites me to a party, I go. Somebody doesn't invite me, I'm still happy. So the need for external happiness goes away. And that is what he says. He says, I'm fine the way I am. And that is the state of the enlightened master. That is what we all have to reach. And that is what the Bhagavad Gita is telling us. So in this verse, Bhagavan is telling us that make that your goal. Go beyond pairs of opposites. Give up your anxiety to acquire and possess. And find the joy within and be Nitya Sattvastaha. Always be in Sattva and then go beyond Sattva to the Lord who is beyond all three gunas. Two very beautiful verses. And the next week actually is the best verse. I keep saying that. But this verse is generally the best. You know, Karmanya Vadika Raste Mahaphaleshu Kadachan. Everybody must have heard. Anybody who has even have slightest idea of Hinduism has heard this verse. Karmanya Vadika Raste. So that one will be doing next week, which is actually the beginning of Karma Yoga. So that is, Karma Yoga starts from there. What we were doing so far was preparation for Karma Yoga. We have about 5 or 10 minutes. So any questions, any comments? either about the verses or anything else if you would wish to discuss. Yes.
You know, I read that all the four yogas, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Satyuga, and Kali Yuga, they run for like 5,000 years, and after 5,000 years, the whole cycle repeats.
Yes.
So whatever happened in that 5,000 years, whatever we did, anybody did, that will be repeated in
yes.
the next cycle. Is that true?
Yes. So when after...
For example, right now we are listening to this lecture. So after 5,000 years, it's going to happen again. The same thing?
Actually, everything. They said Ramayana gets repeated in every time. Ramchandraji will come every time. So everything gets repeated. It may not be exactly the same, but the yugas are repeated. Yugas means how the world is. In Satyug, there was predominantly purity. People were very nice. People were kind. And then in Treta Yug, then when Ramchandraji came, you know, there were evil people like Ravana and all. When Krishna came in Dwapar Yug, there were even worse Kauravas and all that. And now in Kali Yug, there seems to be a lot more. But then we find that interest in scriptures is also growing. More people are listening to Gita. More people are doing yoga, meditation. There are a lot of wise people who are going around giving talks, giving lectures. So slowly Satyuga is coming. And ultimately, also this Vedic idea, Upanishadic idea of oneness, one universe, one world is coming. Even though we may think there is a lot of violence, but look at how the internet and how everybody is connected, and people are realizing that violence in one part of the world will affect another. In the olden days, they didn't care. So I think Satyuga will come. It will come. Goodness will come. But they say actually Ramayana gets repeated every time, you know. But it may not be exactly the same story, but the ideas will be repeated. There will be goodness, and then there will be less, and then evil, and then from evil, again, the good will arise.
Make in mind, Krishna said, that means to keep him as a, for whom you are working.
Right.
So you don't come, your personal desire does not come in it. And then when your personal desire doesn't come, then your gunas would not affect you.
True. That's what we have been talking, in the work, but the ultimate goal is enlightenment. That has to be kept
right
in mind.
Now, he's getting Arjun to rise up to fight. So
right.
it's like to work in this world as keeping him in your mind. So you don't work for yourself. You don't have your own selfish desire. That's in a way serving the world. No matter which place you are, you may be running a hotel, you might be. Cooking somewhere, or you know, whatever role you are given, work with him in the mind, and serve whoever comes in front of you.
True, good. But see, Krishna starts with the highest goal. The second chapter begins with Nainam Chindanti Shastrani Nadahati Pavaka. So this Atma, the self, is never destroyed, and you are that. So he starts with the highest so that to let him know that is your ultimate goal. But as Hansa beautifully expressed, while we are working, we have to keep the Lord in mind. Swami Tejomayanandaji says that while working in the world, work as his servant, but keep the vision always behind you that my goal is enlightenment. Don't forget that. Don't get so caught up in the work that you forget your goal. So Gita tells us both the things, how to work in the world and where to keep your goal. Otherwise, you will be only in tamas and rajas unless you have the sattvic goal in mind. And then go beyond sattva. That's what Sri Krishna says. That is enlightenment, to go beyond sattva.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So if we do what everything in the world in our mind, everything, then there is a need to reach to him.
No, he will help. He does. Actually, if you start doing his work and start working for him, you will constantly see his hand. He will hold, even right now, you are doing it? No, God, are you breathing or are you digesting your food? Or when you go to bed at night having a huge meal, humongous, you know, dosa and idli and party. Who is digesting? Are you digesting? You go to sleep peacefully. Who is doing all the work? It's poor Bhagawan. Even right now, are you breathing? No, he is breathing for you. His heart, he is doing everything. We just think we are doing it. We are doing nothing. All we have to do is be thankful to him for what he does for us. He is constantly working for us. He is carrying us. He is giving us air to breathe and water to drink and make the grains grow and the fruit grow. And we, it's just our ego thing that I am working towards him. I am doing nothing. He is doing everything. I am just an instrument in his hand. So just work like that. Just be an instrument and have total faith. He is doing everything. I am doing nothing. That I have to remember. I am doing nothing and he is doing everything. And then work with that attitude. Otherwise ego comes. Oh, I do so much. I do so many prayers. I go to the temple. I do this. I do that. No, I do nothing. What I do is a very small fraction.
I think, you know, when you do his work, he is with you.
Right.
He puts everything together for you. What is it? It's not we put everything together. He is the one who's putting you in a situation where you can do things that you
right.
It's not we not arranging that. He's arranging.
Yeah, I have
so
to
leave. Is with you.
Sorry, just I have to leave. Just one quick question. If you have, I have 1 minute.
Yeah, actually, I was still thinking. You know how every 5,000 years the cycle repeats. Why does it need to be repeated?
Ask him when you meet him. Thank you. We'll end with a closing prayer. I don't know. That's how the world is made. Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramaya, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchit dukkha bhag bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Guru Pyo Namah Hari Om.